There is a hymn that we sing, which we're going to sing this morning. Dwayne has been kind enough to sing some hymns that are going to line up with our lesson. I asked him to lead these hymns after our lesson this morning to give us maybe a little bit more insight, a little bit more appreciation for those hymns, especially as we consider that those hymns are based on God's Word, most of them from the Psalms. But there's one particular verse I'm sure we're all very familiar with as we sing the hymn As the Deer. And it comes from Psalm 42, verse 1. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. This morning I want to consider with you the context of Psalm 42. It's not a particularly long psalm, but that just that single verse, verse 1, doesn't really give us the whole picture of what the psalmist is saying in what is basically a prayer to Jehovah. That oftentimes when we think of the deer panting for the water, this is what we think of. We think of a deer, it's thirsty, it goes to water, and it drinks. But let me ask you a question. How would you feel, and many of us have, I'm sure, been in this situation, where you're thirsty and you really need water, but you can't get to it. You can't get to the water. How would you feel then? Because it's not just a matter of, oh, I'm thirsty, let me go to the water fountain and get some water out of the water fountain, or let me go to the brook and drink some water out of the brook. Because our psalmist is describing a situation where he is panting for the Lord. He is panting for God, but he can't get to Him. Consider with me Psalm 42, because it is a psalm of depression. It's a psalm of encouragement, and it's a psalm of trust. That's what this psalm is about. But I want to notice first where this psalmist's mind is to start with. Why is he depressed? Why is he having a difficult time? Well, notice with me, starting in verse 1, he says, "As the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Well, what do you mean, when shall I come and appear before God? Well, can't you go anytime? Well, notice what the situation is. We read in verse 4, he says, "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast." Verse 6, "O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me." He's describing a state of despair because he can't go to the house of God anymore. Because where is he? He's in the land of Jordan from the heights of Mount Hermon. This is what he's describing. He's describing a situation where he's in captivity, as many of the second half of the book of Psalms were written during the captivity in Babylon. He's describing the hill of Mizar, which is next to the Mount of Hermon. It is almost 200 miles from Mount Hermon down to Jerusalem, where the temple of God is. And he can't go there. And that's part of what he's describing here in this psalm, is he says, "I remember you from the land of Jordan." And what does he say in verse 4? "I remember when I used to be able to go to the house of God. I went with them, with the multitude." He says, "with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. I used to be able to, and now I can't." Therefore, he's going to remember him, remember God, where he's at. He can't get away. He can't go to Jerusalem, but he can remember God where he is. But this is part of the reason why he's discouraged. Part of the reason why he's depressed. Part of the reason why he says, as the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. It's the same difference in his situation as if for some reason or another, and we have certain shut-ins who are in this situation, we are unable to go to worship. We're not able, either because of physical infirmity or some other situation, we are unable to go to worship. And all of the shut-ins that we have said how they wish they could be here. How they want to be here. How they want to sing. How they want to be with the brethren. And they can't. This is the situation of our psalmist. He can't go to the house of the Lord. And this is why he says in verse 2, my soul thirsts for God, the living God. It's not that God has abandoned him. It's that he can't go to the house of the Lord to worship. That's why he asks in verse 2, when shall I come and appear before God? This is why he says in verse 6, my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from where I am. In verse 7, when he describes his sorrow, his despair, he describes being washed over. He says, deep calls into deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. It's describing the depths of his situation. But that's not the only issue he's dealing with. Because what he describes in verse 7, we often maybe broaden it out to trials of life that he's facing. And we know he's facing more trials than just being discouraged. He can't go to the house of the Lord. Because in verse 3, he says, my tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? He's being mocked. Those who are not worshipers and believers of Jehovah, those presumably individuals, the Babylonians who have taken him into captivity, are mocking him and they're saying, where is your God? And then in verse 10, he says, as with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? He's discouraged and depressed because he can't go to the house of the Lord to worship. He's dealing with trials and captivity. He's dealing with people who are mocking him. And then he finds himself in verse 9 thinking things that he really shouldn't be thinking. In verse 9, I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? But notice the implication of what the psalmist is saying. He says, I will say to God, my rock, the one that he counts on. This is what I find myself thinking and saying. Why have you forgotten me? And the point of him saying this isn't to ask God, why have you forgotten me? The point of him saying this is, look at what I've become. Look at what I've done. I've gotten to the point where God, my rock, and here I am questioning him. I find myself saying, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning, as he mentioned earlier in verse 3, with tears as his food? Because of the oppression of the enemy. And that's not what I should be asking. That's not what I should be thinking. Why? Because God is his rock. That's why he brings that out in verse 9. The idea is look at what this situation has driven me to. I'm asking things to God. I'm saying things, and I shouldn't be thinking that way because God is my rock. I shouldn't ask him, why have you forgotten me? I shouldn't ask him, Why am I causing to mourn because of the oppression of my enemies? And that leads us to the point that he makes regarding how he encourages himself and acknowledging what Jehovah is to him. Notice where the mindset of the psalmist is. He's depressed, he's discouraged because of his situation. But then what does he do? He's going to encourage himself. In verse 5, the psalmist says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." When the psalmist describes this statement to his, or this rhetorical question to his own soul, verse 5, he says, "Why are you cast down? Why are you depressed? Why are you discouraged? Why are you disquieted? Why are you unrest? Is this discouragement in your heart? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him." Why are you feeling this way? Why are you letting these issues get to you? Hope in God. In verse 8, he says, "The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life." Notice what the psalmist is describing in verse 8. During the day, I'm going to be thinking about all the ways he's blessed me, all of his loving kindness, and all the ways he's taken care of me. And at night, what am I going to do? I'm going to be praying to God. I'm going to be talking to him. That's how he's going to deal, how he's going to handle the situations that he's faced with that's causing his soul to be unrest, discouraged, downtrodden. He's going to remind himself to hope in God. He's going to remind himself to think of God's blessings. He's going to remind himself to talk to God. And then in verse 9, he's going to remind himself that God is my rock. I will say to God, my rock. And then in verse 11, he asks the question again. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Twice he asks this question to his soul, to his heart. Why are you discouraged? Because as he considers what God has done for him, how that, as he says in verses 1 through 2, my soul thirsts for God. I want to worship the Lord. I want to sing to Jehovah. I want to be with the multitude that praises him. And then in verse 6, when he says, I will remember you from the land of Jordan, even though he can't worship according to what the law commanded, as he's in captivity, what can he do? I can remember the Lord. And I can remember what all he's done. That then leads to verse 8, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. So why are you cast down? Why are you disquieted within me? Think of all the ways that God has been with me. Think of all the ways that God is my rock. Hope in God, and I will yet praise him. Why? Because he trusts him. This is a psalm that describes three parallel components, all taking place within the heart of the psalmist that you and I can relate to on a daily basis. There are things in this world, things and issues we deal with that can bring us to the point of being discouraged and depressed. Trials of life that we face. And yet when the psalmist is dealing with these things, what does he say? I'm going to encourage myself through what God has given me. by remembering all the ways that God has blessed me, and I am going to trust Him. This is why he says earlier in verse 5, hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him. Hope and trust, while not being the same thing, they are inextricably linked. If you hope in God, that means you trust in Him. If you trust in God, that means you hope in Him. Hope has more to do with the promises of God, the belief that God will deliver. Trust speaks to His ability to do so, His power. And I hope and trust in Jehovah, the psalmist says. In verse 8, when he says, the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime. In the night, His song shall be with me. Why? Because I hope and I trust in Him. That's why I'm going to be thinking about all of His loving kindness during the day. That's why I'm going to be talking to Him during the night. That's why he says in verse 11, hope in God as he ends this message, this prayer, for I shall yet praise Him. As we noted in verse 9, he calls God his rock. What does that mean? Throughout the Old Testament, Jehovah is likened to as a rock or a sure foundation. It's one on whom you can count on. It's something that is stable, that cannot be moved. Immovable. God is my rock. I am movable. I'm flesh and blood. But God can't be moved. And if I count on Him, if I lean on Him, if I'm established on Him, then He will take care of me. But then also notice in both verse 5 and verse 11, the same exact Hebrew phrase is used twice. He says, the help of my countenance. And in verse 11, he adds, and my God. It's interesting, verse 5, because the New King James has here, for the help of His countenance. But that's not what the Hebrew phrase is. The Hebrew phrase is exactly the same as verse 11. It's the help of my countenance. Well, what is he describing? What's he referencing? Well, countenance speaks to a person's attitude. Not just their emotional state, but their mindset. And what is your being encouraged and reminding yourself of these things? What is your trust and your hope going to do for you? It's going to help my countenance. It's going to raise my countenance. From being disquieted and cast down and depressed and discouraged, it's going to raise my heart. It's going to be a health. Verse 11, the health of my countenance and my God. The only way my spirit can be encouraged and brought up and edified is through God and through all the things that God has supplied. That being the case, as he acknowledges God as his rock, as he acknowledges that God is the one who's taken care of him, consider with me what David says in Psalm 18. Psalm 18, starting in verse 1. This is David after God has delivered him from the hand of Saul and from those enemies that were seeking his life. This is a praise of God, and we're not going to read it all, but we're going to read it just a couple of verses from it. Starting in verse 1, he says, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation. My stronghold. Verse 3, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. For all intents and purposes, this is exactly what the psalmist of Psalm 42 is describing. How his enemies are mocking him all day long, and yet he has to remind himself that God is his fortress. God is his rock. It doesn't matter what his enemies are saying, he will be delivered. In David's case of verse 3, it's physically. But in the psalmist's case, it's more of a mental, emotional, spiritual level. Moving on to verse 30 of Psalm 18. Psalm 18, verse 30. David goes on to say, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God?" Verse 46. "The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted." Verse 48. "He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. Great deliverance he gives to his king, and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forevermore." As David considers the deliverance that God brought about, in a very physical sense in David's case, the principles that David relies on, that the Lord lives, the Lord watches out for those who are faithful to him, are the same principles that the psalmist of Psalm 42 also appeals to. But we don't just have to take the word of David. And we don't just have to take the word of the psalmist in Psalm 42. What about God's own word? God's own literal words in Isaiah. Notice with me Isaiah chapter 44, starting in verse 6. Isaiah 44 and in verse 6. "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and the last. Besides me, there is no God. And who can proclaim as I do? Then let him declare it and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people. And the things that are coming and shall come, let them show these to them. Do not fear, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from that time and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one." We have example after example of faithful people who went through trials in their lives that brought about discouragement and depression in their souls, and it brought their countenance down. And time after time, these faithful people of God, they leaned and relied on Jehovah. They leaned on him as their rock. But consider the reason why David says what he says in Psalm 18. God has delivered him from Saul and from his enemies. So what does David do? He thanks God. The psalmist in Psalm 42, even though he doesn't use the word thankful, he uses the word loving kindness. What is one of the ways that he's going to encourage and edify himself? By being thankful for all that God has done. Reminding ourselves in the midst of trials of life that God takes care of his people. It may not always be the way we expect or the way we want. It may not always be physical, as is the case or was the case in Psalm 18, in David's case. But God provides the tools for us to be able to rely on him as our rock. He gives us the tools by which we can hope and trust in him, so that when our soul becomes disquieted within us, it becomes restless. When we become discouraged or depressed, God has given us the tools that can help us through. He's given us the means to be able to have perspective. That no matter what the situation may be in our lives, whether it's physical, spiritual, mental, or emotional, that God can help us. One of the ways in which he helps us is through his word, through the eyewitness testimony of the things that he has done, the power he has shown, the promises he has given. And another tool he's given us is each other. To be there for one another, to encourage, to uplift, to love one another. And it's in that vein, it's in that thought this morning that we offer the invitation to those who are not Christians to become a Christian, realizing that God has given you the tools to be able to escape this world. The world with its corruption, the world with its sin, the world with its trials and tribulation. By becoming a Christian doesn't mean those things go away. It means that God gives us the means to be able to deal with them as we are faithful to Him. You can be a Christian this morning being baptized for the remission of your sins. And those of us who are Christians, don't ever forget that you have tools at your disposal to deal with no matter what life throws at you. No matter what the trials, no matter what the disquiet, a source of the disquietness is, God has given you everything you need, even if it's not always apparent. Rely on your brethren, and most of all, rely on Jehovah, your rock. And if we can help you in any way this morning, come forward as we stand and sing.